Did you really drag me in here to listen to another one of your podcasts?
Dude, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
You want a juice box and some string cheese?
Do you really have that?
Fourth wall break inside a fourth wall break. That's like 16 walls.
Flawless victory.
Mother, what's wrong with me?
Darling, I don't have to answer to you. I'm Batman.
Why'd you open your bong hole, you smelly hippie?
It's clobbering time.
This is the men who look bad in spandex? That's disgusting. Are you seriously calling it that?
What is up, Max?
Hello! Steve, how are you?
I'm all right. How's it going, man?
I'm pretty good, man. Every time, I want to say Steven, but I feel way too Moon Knight-y when I do that.
It's funny.
And I know you're definitely not one to harbor multiple personalities within that that dome piece of yours, unless, of course, I haven't met them yet. But, you know, I suppose maybe one night, one day I'm in the shop.
I'm going to say probably I'm just better at hiding them than Mr. Grant.
Hey, man, if you're the avatar of an Egyptian god, you'd tell me, right?
Oh, for sure. That would definitely be a thing.
Are you sure? You wouldn't, like, go around like Bruce Wayne saying no one can ever know my secret identity? Or like a, you know...
I mean, it's a little bit different. I mean, Egyptian avatar... I mean, that's a little more crazy, so...
Well, I suppose you wouldn't make a deal with the devil, Brand New Day style, to get your secret identity back, would you?
Ah, you know, only if they made me give it up because they're stupid. only if they made me. They're like, you know what you're going to do? Where you're going to reveal your secret identity to everybody. And I'm like, hang on. You mean the last 50 years of me being a character, that was not my thing at all? And now you're just going to do it tomorrow? And they're like, yep, Tony Stark said so. And I'm like, who's Tony Stark?
The editors of your life.
In that case, yeah, maybe yes.
Oh.
I mean, would I give up a for lack of a better word, dime piece like Mary Jane? I mean, I'm a little more hard pressed for that. So it depends on what the question is. Just identity? Sure. Man, why not?
Dip your chips in that spicy guacamole.
We wound up gambling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about it.
You're absolutely right, dude. I wouldn't give up that redhead. She is a firebrand, my friend. Yes, sir. Excellent. Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. Yeah, it's the men who look bad in spandex. I'm Max. He's Steve. We're not actually in spandex because that would be really uncomfortable.
And warm today. My gosh.
Yeah. You know, spandex, it's a privilege, not a right.
That's also true.
Yeah. So make sure you remember that next time we go out in public, huh?
I don't have a problem remembering it. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Not everyone else plays by the same rules, but, I mean, yeah.
You were in public last weekend. You were out just dealing free comic books to the patrons of both the Picture Show and the Regal Cinemas as Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness came out.
That's true.
Yeah. Your thoughts off the top of your head right now? What, you enjoyed the movie?
Yeah, no, good movie. I like that we gave it a scary horror element to it. I mean, it kind of promises that in the first movie, and then it wasn't really there. I mean, I'll give you the whenever they melt out the eyes of the what become the ancient ones, other subjects or whatever. Like, that was pretty creepy, but the rest of the movie wasn't really that way. So I like that this one has that feel because it feels like we were promised that before.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely on the line of like rating wise, but it's awesome. Like, it's really good. The story's fun. Things I didn't expect to have happen, it happened, so that was cool. Almost all the Sam Raimi tropes are in there. I mean, the only one missing, best I could tell you, is his brother Ted is not in there. So that's all really, really awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I like it.
Sam Raimi through and through, and if you've seen the Evil Dead series, or perhaps the first two Spider-Mans, amongst many others, Sam's been making movies for a long time. You probably recognize that stuff. I also liked it. Thanks for asking, Steve. I totally enjoyed it myself.
That's where we're going, brother.
I'm glad they got rid of those yellow gloves. I know you're a fan of the yellow gloves, but I'm definitely enjoying seeing the alternate costumes of one Dr. Stephen Strange. I've always enjoyed multiversal adventures because of that, because of the artistic license people can take. One of my favorite parts of the multiverse period is just introducing fodder in the form of your favorite character and then watching that fodder be absolutely annihilated, much like it happened in the the movie, Multiverse of Madness. A spoiler alert here, so if you got to get the kids out of the room for a minute, if you need to do earmuffs or whatever, please do so. We'll take a moment of silence. And that was it. But when the Illuminati appear, which of course is the huge cameo of John Krasinski as Reed Richards, Charles Xavier in... that might have been my favorite part. Loki, Steve, the yellow chair from the 90s X-Men, popping in to say hey. As well as Black Bolt was cool. Captain Carter was in there, the Illuminati period, as the multiversal police or whatever it was. But I struck an ominous tone with one of my oohs as soon as the lineup faced off against Wanda. You know, I just knew bad things were going to be happening, my friend.
Right. Yeah, I mean, cool cameos. It was a nice little touch with the X-Men theme song from the cartoon series. So it does beg the question, though, is that going to turn out to be the... Because bringing back the 80s series in one more season on the old Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So does that mean that Professor X is the X from that series? Or is it just that it was nice to use the music because it was nice to use the music?
Yeah. It's an iconic piece of audio, Steve. To take one side of that argument.
Oh yeah,
really, truly
when it
is.
Comes to nostalgia stuff for sure.
Yeah, I think that's one of the powers of the MCU because they've already kind of created the built-in nostalgia because they've been making these movies for 10 plus years. So I think they kind of have that going for them.
That's true. Well, you're right. That's definitely a thing.
But my friend. And I know we were discussing this, and we didn't get quite into depth like we wanted to, and we'll do it right now. It was funny, because it was the post-credit scene, the second one, that got me thinking. Like, I don't want to say it's a death knell, but it's the beginning of the end for Marvel movies? Because there was our good friend, and Sam Raimi's good friend, Bruce Campbell, calling back to a joke that was made through the movie, and then also a joke on the people still sitting there in the theater. And I was laughing super hard, but at the same time, I had a pang of uncertainty because I realized there we all were, well-trained puppies waiting for our milk bone, you know? And I'm a huge comic fan, but at the same time, I'm also I'm also pragmatic when it calls for it. Was that to you, and maybe you have a completely different opinion. To me, it was the idea that this is what the MCU is, just a bunch of people hanging out, watching a pretty good movie, you know, by decent standards, right? Watching a pretty okay movie, but then what we really came there for was the mid post-credit scene, and then of course the post-credit scene. Is that too broad of a stroke? Am I on the right path? Do you think I'm completely off base?
Well, I mean, it's not entirely off base, but as far as like, I don't know, when it comes to the extra piece of cheese, I think it's more. I don't know. I think it's more of a reward for waiting for the credits. I mean, as far as the thing, I don't necessarily see it as... Because when they don't have it, you're like, oh, too bad. But the movie was still really good.
It was.
There's a lot of people that don't care about it regardless, and even if they know it's coming, they're, again, do not care. So I feel like they missed a chunk because they weren't willing to wait. So I don't know. I'd like to look at it more as a reward. I don't feel like... Maybe only one of the movies... Do I feel like the end credit catches what people were really there for? And it wasn't even a Marvel one. I mean, don't get me wrong. They've been really neat, and they've been cool. And as far as moving things forward and keeping you hooked on the line, that, I mean, that's what they're there for. So you're right, totally there with that. It's a matter of dangling that cheddar. But the only one I mentally remember in the theaters was Venom 2's ending, because I would say that at least half the crowd was only there for that. And I couldn't hardly believe their reaction was bigger to that than it was to anything else in the movie. Now, I'll give you, the movie's not the best movie. It's not horrible, but it's not, you know. But I thought, my gosh, like, that's what you people were here for? Huh. Okay, then. I mean, to each their own. Okay. But they're not always, not all of them are like bangers. I mean, you have the one with Captain America where he's like, this is what you get for waiting. We're going to show you. This is what you get for waiting. And I felt like that was a Spider-Man movie also. Yeah. So, like, when it comes to the Doctor Strange movie, yeah. I just think it's a Sam Raimi, like, knock at the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think it's anything different. I mean, Sam's one to put things inside the movies to mock people and mock, you know.
He is.
Mock the fans, mock the characters in the movies. That's the thing that he does. So, mm-hmm. I mean, other than the close with Bruce Campbell, which I think is awesome.
It was.
I mean, even that Evil Dead movie, the remake Evil Dead, where they made everything way more hoary and, it made it very different.
Less campy.
Yeah, less campy, maybe less fun. Even it has an in-sequence catch. Now, it's not a big one, but it's Bruce Campbell. And it's like a shot of his face, and he says something. I can't remember what he even says. But it's like, it's just there to be there. So Bruce was in the movie, because he's not in the movie otherwise. So, had we not got the hot dog vendor, it wouldn't have made any sense at the end, but you could have put it there anyway. But yeah, I don't know. I don't nail in the coffin. I don't know. I mean, with the way everything else has worked so far, I don't think so. I mean, we've had a couple duds. I mean, I don't know, movies I would call duds. And they didn't derail things yet. So, I mean, when it comes to the world of streaming and world of TV shows, there's a lot out there. So, I mean, at some point you'd have to, I don't know, for gloom and doom's sake, at some point you have to hit a bubble, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what happens with all brands of franchise-style movies.
Yes.
I mean, for years there was tons of sci-fi movies, and that bubble kind of cracked, and then we turned to espionage and thriller-type movies, and then horror movies go around in a circle that way, too. I mean, as far as, like, back-to-back-to-back-to-back, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. And don't get me wrong, they're all fantastic. I'm not saying anything bad about them. But when it comes to, like, sequences, we usually go through phases of styles of movies, and now the superhero craze, it's managed to run quite a long time, which, I mean, the branching out of it into different genres makes the next most sense as a thing. So they're not just superhero action movies. Now you have a superhero action movie that's also a thriller or an espionage movie. I mean, Winter Soldier is very espionage-like.
Yes, very true.
Doctor Strange, the first one, I mean, like I said, I remember reading articles where they talked all about how it's going to be much more of that genre. And it just wasn't. Whereas this one, it definitely is.
Oh,
yeah.
You
have straight up, like, not just Evil Dead things, but, I mean, the scene with Wanda coming out of the reflection, it's straight up The Ring.
Oh, Ring, yeah.
Ring goo, even. It's
great stuff.
Awesome.
Great stuff. Callbacks to zombie Wanda as well into the What If.
Oh, yeah.
With some of the shots that were set up. And, you know, I enjoyed the parallels to The House of M. Had there, the kind of what I would say, I mean, it's more pulling from stories rather than putting direct references to the mythos in there. Maybe that's something I can look forward to. I had a good time when House M came out, and when Avengers Disassembled was one of the biggest things in comics. I really enjoyed both of those.
Oh yeah, both good series, yeah.
Yeah, and when it came to seeing them, kind of, I guess, replayed or juxtapositioned onto the big screen. That was me enjoying it, you know, as a total fanboy. But that's where I also was kind of debating it with myself, Steve. What did I go to the movie for? I went to the movie to go watch a good movie. Yes. But at the same time, as I understand it's a Marvel movie, part of me is saying, okay, now that we've gotten the movie out of the way, what comes next? And when they did not only the Fantastic Four references, but the X-Men references, and then, of course, the, spoiler alert, Clea, the Sorceress Supreme at the end with Charlize Theron, I was excited, but I kind of thought, I had this slow pang hit my gut, and it was this is what it's for. This is what this movie was for. Because, I mean, they could have done it any way they wanted, right, Steve? They could have done a 6-part episodic series. They could have done another animated and tied it in. They established that with the what if, that the animation and the live action can fit together. But instead, they gave us a 10-minute sequence with alternate versions of some of our beloved superheroes. And that's when I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe that's what they did it for. Maybe that's what Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness was. Not really to open up a multiverse per se, but rather to introduce these characters in their own timelines by killing off their alternates and saying, oh yeah, they exist. They're here. Don't worry about them. They were just, you know, fun to look at for a second. Let's get back to all of this. And I thought,
sure,
maybe that was the idea.
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying. I do feel like Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness is a stepping stone to other things. So as far as options and things to set up, it lays out a bunch of different paths, as it were. And when it comes to the cameos, I don't know, part of me thinks that the cameos were to put certain things to bed. And what I mean by that is, so we'll work with Black Bolt first, because I'm going to say a majority of fans have not ever seen the Inhumans TV series.
Wow, talk about the most, sorry to interrupt you, Steve, the most brutal moment of the film in classic Sam Raimi style. It was played as a gag, but it turned out to be sufficiently horrific.
Yeah, with the Black Bolt, so with the whole idea that a majority of fans didn't see Inhumans, I'm going to say that most of us heard it was terrible, and that's about as far as it got. Now I have seen Inhumans, and like, the casting's fine. I mean, none of the actors are bad actors in it, really. I mean, a couple more rougher, but overall, the cast is fine. The guy playing Maximus is great. The guy who played Black Bolt, who's the same guy in The Multiverse of Madness, did fine. The lady playing Medusa was great. Don's a little weak. Gordon's a little weak. But they weren't bad. The rest of the story is the problem. It just irons out in a way that's paced. Not exciting, and is not... And it's just rough. And a lot of the CGI is rough, too. But when it comes to the property itself, unless we get to the TV series for Ms. Marvel, and they elect to make her an Inhuman inside that show, I think we're done with Inhumans in the movie franchises probably for a long time. Only because all the extra work that went into putting them into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, they were given their, none of the proper ones, mind you, but as a thing, they were in that show quite a bit. The series itself, the TV series, being as poorly received and poorly made as it was, not even getting a second season, less a second run anywhere. And I don't even think it's on Disney Plus, to be honest. But as a thing, they did a lot of trouble in the comic books because they canceled a bunch of X-Men books at one point, fighting with Fox. And they made a bunch of new Inhuman books. And then as soon as they bought Fox, those Inhuman books all went away. And then Kamala Khan's still around. In the comics, she is an Inhuman. But other than her book, there's no other proper Inhuman books happening at all, and hasn't been for the last 3 years. And we have a slew of X-Men books, which is great, because they're awesome. But as a thing for the movies, I think killing Black Bolt killed the Inhumans in the franchise. Again, unless Kamala Khan shows up and she's actually an Inhuman. I'm going to say, though, after watching the trailer, which does look fun, we see those armbands she's got on in the trailers. If you haven't seen the trailer, watch the trailer. You'll see what I'm talking about. She's wearing armbands, and it appears her powers come from the bands. So very Rick Jones when he turned into Captain Marvel, or Shang-Chi from the most recent movie. So it appears that the bands are what gives her powers. And if that's the case, well, she's not Inhuman at all. So
maybe
don't
a little,
worry about that anymore.
Maybe a little Quasar in there?
Oh, yeah, Quasar also, another good reference. The bands for Quasar. So, like, if the bands are what actually gives her powers and they make it an alien object or a mystical object or whatever, that's fine. I mean, whatever. But if they don't make her an Inhuman, and that's where her stretching powers come from, then I think that the killing Black Bolt's the nail in the coffin for the Inhumans.
Sorry to interrupt, Steve. Do you think, mm-hmm. because there was a lot of play for the Inhumans, I don't want to say maybe about 5 years ago, but Civil War II and a lot of Miles Morales's absorption into the 616 universe kind of centered around one Inhuman that could see, well, it was kind of somewhat lazy, but I forget what his name was. Was it Sebastian or maybe it was, I forget what.
Ulysses. You're thinking of.
Yes, that's exactly right. And he was the Inhuman that could see things before they happened into the future and whatnot. And he caused Civil War II between Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, and Iron Man, Tony Stark. And that was a large thing. That was also enveloped when, of course, Captain America was an agent of Hydra. This was a very a pretty formative time in modern comics, if we're talking the last 5 to 10 years. Why would the cinematic side go so far away from that, Steve? That's what I thought. Was it too confusing? Is it too convoluted with where they come from, the Terrigen Mists, their connection to the Eternals, or did they, and Celestials, or did they perhaps even just think that it didn't have any mainstay brand power, like versus an X-Men or a Fantastic Four member?
And I think that statement's a nail on the head. And I think the truth is that the X-Men are just stronger. And now they own the X-Men again. Why waste your time with the Inhumans? I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Black Bolt's great. I think Medusa's great, too. I mean, there's plenty of... The Reader, he's really cool. Ulysses, well, whatever. Lash is really cool. There's a whole handful of them in there that are really awesome.
Right?
So it's not that they're bad characters, but, I mean, as a thing... When all that stuff was going on, and I think the main reason why we used so many Inhuman characters in Civil War II is because they had put the X-Men on the back burner because of the deals with Fox. Like, Fox was moving forward with the new Dark Phoenix, they were moving forward with the new Mutants, they were doing whatever other nonsense they were trying to work on. And at the same time, we had a Fantastic Four movie happening, the Josh Trank one.
Yeah.
And at one point, and I don't remember... I remember reading an article that had something to do with Fox offering the rights of Fantastic Four back to Marvel. And the end result turned out being Marvel saying, no, we're good, we'll just cancel the comic. And I'm sure that was written a lot nicer than that, and probably had a lot of bigger words about it. But the truth of the matter is that we canceled the Fantastic Four in lieu of the movie being released. So before the movie came out, the comic books bagged up Reed and Sue and the kids and sent them off to space. At the end of the Secret Wars book, they sent him off in the galaxy. We took Johnny and the Thing, and we put him in other books with different characters, different casts. The Thing they put with the Guardians of the Galaxy, which sounds ridiculous when you hear it, but it makes a lot of sense because he was a space pilot. I mean, the dude was a test pilot astronaut, so it makes perfect sense. He's also a rock in space, but at the same time, it makes perfect sense. And Johnny got sent off to be with the Inhumans, which got kind of messy, and for a little while with the Uncanny Avengers.
He's always been part of the Inhumans circle, though, with his marriage to Crystal, as well as his, you know, romance and trepidations within that royal circle.
Yeah, he made weird choices with Black Bolt's wife. they didn't go too far, but the fact it was there at all is weird.
What a great sentence. He made weird choices with Black Bolt's wife. That's a funny sentence,
man. It sounds way worse when I say it that way, but it's still... I mean, he dated her sister, so, like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
It's questionable.
I liked it, though. I loved the stuff that was coming to a head in 2017, especially the, you know, singular Black Bolt run by Ward and... I don't remember the writer, but I remember Christian Ward. It was really fun, really great, and I thought, because... I have a soft spot for Blackagar Bolt again, man, mostly because of his power and his silence. I really thought he's one of the best creations out of the, of course, the stable of, you know, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. And now the fact that he might not come back into the MCU, I thought it was, you know, a disservice to the people who had been following the last 5 years of comic books, especially Marvel main story arcs, because, you know, before the, you know, the Devil's Reign with Daredevil, before the King in Black, before those, or Absolute Carnage, before that kind of took over the last few years, that's really where I felt the MCU was headed, towards kind of an interstellar feel with more mutants, more Inhumans at the forefront, rather than the traditional Captain America's, the Fantastic Four's, and their breakup, as you mentioned, you know, and giving those characters a, you know, time in the spotlight.
Well, the books were driving at that moment, and we had different things going on. And the books versus the movies, they're completely separate things. I mean, if they want to call the movie 616, that's fine, because after Secret Wars, I'm pretty sure that our Earth became Prime. But either way, it doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, I do wish, if I had to complain about Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, I've got two.
Yeah.
Because I'm nitpicky. One is that we make it 616 in name. And then is it possible that Dr. Girlfriend made the wrong number? Sure.
Dr. Girlfriend, yes!
So funny. In my head, I'm laughing really hard at that.
Yeah, I am laughing very hard at that right now. Out loud, not even in my head.
Try not to laugh at my own jokes. That's pretty good.
It's okay. I laugh at my own jokes all the time.
If she would have named it, if they would have named the universe 165 or 160 or 160, 162, any other number nearby, then it could have been seamless for everyone, not just comic book people, but movie people too, because the Ultimate Universe was its own number. The 616 universe was what the main Marvel universe has been. I'll give you, it's only really used by snobs trying to be snobby for no reason. And it infuriates me, to be honest. The comic snobbery of it is just, oh, do you mean 616 Spider-Man? And I want to slap him, because, yeah, don't be dumb. Just don't be dumb. But as a thing, the movie's taking that state as it being the 616 universe feels a little wrong, because the movie universe is clearly different than the comic universe. Clearly.
Clearly.
So that part bugs me a little bit. I mean, I have a little bit of trouble with the alternate universe Wanda. Only because you're telling me, oh gosh, nice where I'll stop. You're telling me that our proper Wanda found a dream version of herself from another universe that somehow has, best we can tell, the same power set. I mean, after all, when she wakes up, so once the two separate, she wakes up in a crazy, I don't know, fantasy land where the magic book was. She looks around and is like, this is normal. And is like, oh, I got to get back to the kids. And then flies up to the door using the exact same
power set, yeah,
that our proper Wanda has. So that tells me that lady has those same powers. So that means at some point in her life, either she was taken by Hydra, somebody experimented on her.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how it is. And another difference between the comic books and the movies is, in the movies, her and Quicksilver, they're science experiments.
Yes.
In the comic books, that's not the truth at all.
They're mutants.
Well, even that's not technically right anymore. I mean, that changed too during the whole Fox debate debacle. Let's call it that, Fox debacle. During all that stuff, they even changed in the comic books to make Magneto not their actual father. He did raise them, but he's not their father. So it was all things they were trying to separate themselves from the X-Men universe that was Fox, which is why we have two versions of Quicksilver. The Fox version, where he's fun and young and runs around all crazy, and then we have the other one that got dead. And the difference between the two things is that on the Wanda side, there is a young girl with the right flavor hair that they never name in the X-Men movie because they didn't have the rights to use Wanda or the Scarlet Witch, which is why she's also a child. So she's there, but she's not technically mentioned as the same character. Because in the setup of that, where they originally appeared at, even though they were named as mutants, they originally appeared in Avengers comic books and then in Avengers comic books afterwards. Oh no, X-Men comics afterwards. They were part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants that was sent to destroy the Avengers. So their original appearances versus where they were used made it more of a gray mess of which company owned who. Hence why we got two different versions of both characters and why one, he is called Quicksilver, and why the other one, he is not. Same thing with the namesake for Scarlet Witch, why it didn't become a thing until much later, and they called her Wanda all the time. So only after the Fox buyout did that change, because now they have everything. But as far as the setup in the first place, this other version of her had whatever done to her. Let's say, I mean, if we say Hydra, then we just follow the normal path. And then she has a set of kids that are real kids. where's the dad? None of the pictures have the dad. I mean, I guess it could be a Winter Soldier set of babies. That's fine. I mean, as far as flavor is concerned, there's a handful of other people you could pick. I don't even care if it was a random nobody. But they show pictures in the house, and all the pictures are just of her and the kids. That way we can get that cool head turn in the picture, which is awesome. But they never show any inclination of the father for these two kids, because the robot can't have babies, regardless of what universe it is. So, like, the fact they look exactly the same, and they're, I mean, it's fine they're the same actors. Switch their color of hair. Dye one a blonde and make the other one a brunette, whatever. But the idea they're so samey, and there's no mention of a father figure at all, is just a little much for me. And I don't, like I said, I don't hate it. It's fine. I like the movie a lot. But I'm like, really? Okay, it feels too much like a circle. But whatever.
And you talked about circles. You made wonderful analogies about Hollywood and their affinity for a completed circle. So it's a nice and tidy, tidy thing and moving on and so on. You know, it is difficult to flesh that out considering the legal ramifications of the character as an intellectual property, and to see the tiptoeing, and I think you're mentioning it right now, the tiptoeing, I think, does the disservice to the character, because instead of giving us concrete ideas, like they do with everything else, you know, from Captain America to the Hulk, to Hawkeye, to Moon Knight. Now it is, what is she? I mean, because back in 2015-16, whenever Age of Ultron comes out, Wanda and Quicksilver are introduced, and automatically you have fanboys like ourselves talking about the inclusion of mutants into this grand scheme of the MCU. Little do we know, we wouldn't get it till almost 10 years later in 2022. And right. That, I can understand why you might be a little bit hurt. I would be too. I mean, everybody's favorite character can't always get, I guess, the spotlight time. I guess I'm lucky I'm a Captain America honk, because like he had the best moment in all 10 years of the films when he picked up, you know, Mjolnir and fought Thanos like single-handedly. That right there is still my favorite part. I think it's a lot of people's favorite part. But, you know, with it being a conclusion and an end, you're probably a little bit biased, because it's one of the biggest moments of the entire series. Is it going to be more of the same? Is it going to be convoluted, as the multiverse of madness is, no matter how you try to explain it, no matter how you decide, you know, you can just step over from one doorway to the next, even if it's star-shaped or not, thanks, America Chavez. Whatever it is... You know, will it be the same organization that we had throughout the first 10 years? Are we going to continue to see, or is it going to be like a tree with a very solid rooted branch that's all of a sudden forking into all of this other stuff? And that right there, my friend, I think that was the very small frustration I took away from Multiverse of Madness. Just that very sure. small frustration. And I think you've illustrated those a little bit better. And I think maybe there'll always be people like us saying, what about this? And then what about that? And why doesn't this make sense? It's easy for this to make sense. Hollywood probably doesn't care.
No, I mean, you know, there's at least some folks in there driving, they're sort of trying to twist the boat in a way that things partially fit together. I mean, you do always beg the question, like, the idea that they have a cabal of people that do that, and as far as namesakes and the credits, that is something I didn't see in Doctor Strange, but I guess I wasn't looking hard enough at the credits to see it. But they have a group of people that's what they're supposed to do as a job. And when it comes to, like, willy-nilly in the world, I mean, now that everything else is back, almost everything is back under the House of Mouse. So Spider-Man, of course, is still Sony, and that leads to Venom and Morbius and Craven and blah, 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 blah,
blah. Blah, 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 blah,
like, a lot of it. I mean, they're saying we're doing a Craven movie, and that's cool, and because of that, some of his appearances in comics have caught fire, but we did just have a Morbius movie, and, I mean, it was Morbius, so there's that. So when it comes to franchise stuff, like, the Spider-Man universe as far as connections are concerned are still Sony. As far as distribution rights, the way we understand it, at least, Hulk's still owned by Universal Studios as a distribution point, and so is Namor. So were we going to get Namor movies anyway? I don't think titled Namor, I mean, maybe he's in the Fantastic Four, but...
There's chatter of him showing up in the new Black Panther movie. I know that because Wakanda and Atlantis did have, again, in recent comic history, they had a big clash post A versus X, and they might maybe draw from there. And you're right. I don't know if there's a real life MCU Illuminati that's out there making sure these things all make sense. But all in all, man. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, good. If you look at Black Widow's credits, there's a list of them in the credits.
Yeah. All in all, man.
The cabal.
Yeah. The cabal. All right.
Before
we let you go, let's get back to the books, man, because there's a lot of good stuff coming out on paper. Free Comic Book Day just dropped this past Saturday. And of course, as always, they use that as a jumping point, kind of in the new stuff. What should we Steve, have our eyes on this coming week and the rest of May?
Yeah, so when it comes to comic books, this coming up next week, we've got a few things that are pretty cool. As far as like series is happening, there's a new series called Duo that's coming out from DC Comics. It's under the Milestone imprint. We're dealing with a couple characters that, at least from what the write-ups make it sound like, become intertwined kind of like how Firestorm works. It's a six-part miniseries, so it's brand new characters. Should be pretty cool to see. The newest issue of Catwoman, number 43, sets us up with a team-up with Harley Quinn, and both the girls go out to the roller derby, which I think is a fantastic. Does it mean it's a Chasey book? I'm going to say no, but it should be awesome. as far as other stuff, I mean, Marvel's going to have their new run of, what's it called? It's an Avengers book that has Conan. Why don't I remember what that's called? That's bad. Savage. Oh, my gosh. That was easy. Savage Avengers number 1, volume 2 comes out next week. Man, that was rough to get to. So that should be really cool. I mean, it's the second volume of the series. Main thing you need to know is that Conan's been time-traveled to the present, and now he's hanging out with a batch of Avengers. Awesome.
That sounds awesome.
It is crazy, but it's really cool. Like, I like that series a lot. As far as other things, I mean, we have the continuing of Silk from the current miniseries. Second issue is Spider-Punk. As far as other things, we did start a big event with Thor and Hulk as a crossover. So the first issue that already came out last week. It was the titling is Banner of War, Alpha, issue 1. Banner like Bruce Banner. And it's leading to a Hulk versus Thor is what's going on. So the next chapter that comes out this coming week is Thor 25. So that's chapter 2. And then 3 goes to Hulk, back to Thor for the follow-up, and then the ending is over in Hulk as well. So, pretty big thing. I mean, what's happening in the storyline has been really cool for both those books. Donny Cates, who is just so popular, is writing both, and it promises a pretty big clash for the two Avengers. There you go, two Avengers.
Is this what the Black Hand of God? Is this what I've been hearing so much about? Is that what it is?
Well, that is what has just recently appeared in the most recent issue of Hulk. So the two things are sort of connected, probably why it's actually happening in the first place. So yes, the two things are running to each other. The dark entity in Hulk and leading to a battle with the God of Thunder.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It should be really cool. Like I said, the first issue of it's out. It's the Alpha issue, and next week the Thor part comes out, so the second chapter. And so far, everything Donny Cates has done has been really good. I mean, King of Black, for me, ends a little flat, but it was still a really cool story while it's happening. And everything leading up to that was really cool. His Venom stuff is cool. His Thor stuff has been great so far. So I don't really have any issues there. There's another book he writes called Crossover, and it's awesome. It's an Image book. Actually, it's issue 13 came out this week. And 13 poses itself as the end of this particular series, but definitely has a to be continued dun 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 going on to it. So
beautiful.
That's pretty cool. It's very meta. Like, it's all about the comic world exploding into the real world and what results in that leads to death for some people. It's awesome. It's if I haven't mentioned it on the show before, it's great. All of it erupts out of... One more piece about that, and I swear I'll stop. So the first issue, we have a rift in reality happening inside the comic book pages of a book, and the event itself happens in downtown Denver, Colorado. Ooh. So all these explosives of characters and monsters and robots and everything from comic books, theoretically from every comic book, explode into the real world. As a result, the U.S. government decides the way to handle this is to quarantine Colorado from, like, steel walls around our state. It helps that we're a square, I think. Mm. And then a magnetic field on top to keep the flyers in, you know. And the world persists or moves forward like normal, now with these fake people in the world and constantly, vigilantly trying to watch for them getting out. And that leads to protests against comic book stores because, well, the reason this stuff exists is because of us. It's our fault this happened, which is very meta.
Ooh.
As a thing. It's great. Like, it's really good. Like I said, issue 13 came out this last week. It is posed as the last issue, but again, it ends in a to be continued kind of way. So I assume that means they're taking a break and we'll probably see a volume 2 at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. Artist on it is really good. The way they draw the characters, if you're a normal world person, it looks like standard comic book art. If you're from the comic book world, they color you with a dot style coloring. So like the old, I don't know, like 70s coloring where it's all little dots.
I remember.
It looks awesome.
I remember. Oh man, the retro approach. That's cool. Steve, yeah. It's always fun to be continued with you, sir. That is where you get it. It's top five comics right off First and Orchard. Be sure you check them out right above Cameo Hairstyling Salon at Top 5 Comics on Instagram, on Facebook, CBS. Get to know them. You'll get to know pretty much anything you want about comics around here, my man. Top 5 Comics, pick them up. You can find them here on 931magic.com. You can find them as well on every other social media network you like to go. Steve, as always, appreciate your knowledge. Appreciate your time, man. We'll get you on the next one, all right?
Excellent, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right.